This is Africa News Tonight on the Voice of America.
Good evening and welcome to Africa News Tonight from the English to Africa service of the Voice of America, your source for Pan-African news and world developments. I'm Kim Lewis in Washington.
And I'm Yehis Wuhib. Coming up on Africa News Tonight,
I just spoke to the Italian Coast Guard and they confirmed that 3,000 migrants were rescued off the coast of Libya on Sunday as they were trying to make their way to Europe across the Mediterranean. After some calm weather, the migrants are now beginning to arrive in large numbers and taking advantage of this fine weather on the sea.
That's reporter Josephine McKenna in Rome. Full details coming up.
Also, at least 10 people are reportedly killed in drought-related clashes in central Kenya. And after more than 40 Somali refugees were killed last Friday, the Arab coalition fighting rebels in Yemen has called for the port of Hodeidah to be placed under UN supervision.
We'll have these stories and lots more ahead on Africa News Tonight.
Our top story, at least 10 people were reported killed yesterday in drought-related clashes in central Kenya. AFP quotes police as saying herders from the Borana and Samburu communities waged a gun battle in Kom, about 295 kilometers from Nairobi. Both ethnic groups grazed their livestock there. At least two others were wounded. Last week, 13 people were killed in a similar incident between Ilchamas and Pokot herdsmen in Mukutani. But there was violence in the same region yesterday. AFP says four police officers were wounded by suspected Pokot herdsmen as their vehicle escorted members of the Ilchamas community.
Britain's development minister says collective coordinated action can prevent millions of people from starving to death in South Sudan, Somalia, Yemen, and northeast Nigeria. Priti Patel says if the international community fails to act, it will stain our history and collective consciousness. In a commentary in the Telegraph Online, Patel says the pictures of shrunken children that are emerging are truly horrific. She says that every death from hunger is preventable and every one of those lives is worth saving. The UN says more than 20 million people in the four countries face starvation and famine. It warns nearly 1.5 million children could starve to death if no action is taken.
The Arab coalition fighting rebels in Yemen have called for the port of Hodeidah to be placed under UN supervision. AFP reports the coalition made the request after more than 40 Somali refugees were killed Friday in a boat offshore. The coalition denies reports that one of its helicopters attacked the vessel, saying there was no firing by any coalition forces Friday in the area of the port. The Somali government has called for an investigation of the incident. The Arab coalition says having Hodeidah under UN supervision would ease the flow of humanitarian supplies and end the smuggling of weapons and people through the port. Some reports say the vessel was sailing towards Sudan when it was attacked on Friday. An estimated 3,000 migrants were rescued off the coast of Libya yesterday as they tried to cross the Mediterranean to Europe, according to the Italian Coast Guard. Migrants are attempting to make the treacherous journey from Libya in larger numbers as the weather improves. The surge in migrants also comes as the Italy-EU-Libya summit starts today in Rome. Reporter Josephine McKenna has the latest developments from Rome.
I just spoke to the Italian Coast Guard and they confirmed that 3,000 migrants were rescued off the coast of Libya on Sunday as they were trying to make their way to Europe across the Mediterranean. After some calm weather, the migrants are now beginning to arrive in large numbers and taking advantage of this fine weather on the sea. The Italian Coast Guard is now taking 1,400 of these migrants that have been rescued in different operations to the southern port of Augusta, while Doctors Without Borders, MSF, has been tweeting that it's now sailing to the Sicilian port of Catania with a record high number of more than 1,000 migrants that they have rescued in the last 24 hours. So we're seeing this surge in arrivals And it's not even the high season for these rescues yet. And that's taking the number that have arrived in Italy this year well above 18,000 since the beginning of January.
In the meantime, today, the Italy-EU-Libya summit is taking place there in Rome, and I'm sure the migrant situation is going to be a big topic of discussion. So what do you know so far about the summit?
Well, I think this is a very controversial issue. Seeing these numbers arriving in the last 24 hours is putting more pressure on this summit between Libya and EU leaders, EU ministers that are here in Rome to discuss this issue, because the main focus is to give more resources, throw more resources, invest more resources in Libya. Brussels has already allocated 200 million euros to try and support Libya, and this sum is already considered to be not enough. So there's more pressure to spend more money. Now, Libya, according to Italian media reports, is asking for 20 vessels to be used for offshore patrols. The Italians have already allocated 10 vessels for the Libyan Coast Guard, but the Libyans want helicopters, they want 24 rubber dinghies and ambulances and jeeps and satellite phones. They're demanding quite a lot, and that pressure is great on this summit because the Libyan leadership can't really guarantee stability in Libya. And as we know, there's still conflict and there's still division. And will this leadership be able to control the corruption and the people smuggling that we know is driving this wave of migration across the Mediterranean? That is the big question here.
So what are your sources saying is going to come out of it between the Italian interior minister and Libya's al-Sarraj?
Well, the Italian prime minister Paolo Gentiloni and the interior minister Marco Minniti are meeting Libya's UN-backed leader Fayez al-Sarraj today in Rome with EU representatives. They want to get an additional commitment from Tripoli to address this illegal migration, to stop the flow. But that does seem to be a tall order because of the conflict. There's been clashes in Libya in the last few days, the violence there, continuing uncertainty about the al-Sarraj government, and that's putting the entire agreement at risk. The EU and Italy are desperate to try and lock this agreement into place, slow down the flow of migrants. But these clashes in Tripoli that have been reported certainly put uncertainty over that agreement at this point, I would say.
That was reporter Josephine McKenna. She spoke with me from Rome.
The World Bank reports Africa will receive the bulk of the $75 billion the International Development Association, or IDA, will spend to finance life-saving operations over the next 3 years. Those programs are mainly in 30 of the world's poorest countries. Lisa Schlein reports from Geneva.
The World Bank reports the African region will receive $45 billion of the $75 billion allocated for development purposes. It says other recipients will include small Pacific Island states threatened by climate change and fragile countries in the Western Hemisphere, such as Haiti. The fund, which runs from July 1st through June 30, 2020, also will support specific development projects in 82 additional fragile states, including Guinea, Nepal, Niger, and Tajikistan. Axel von Trotzenburg, Vice President for Development Programs at the World Bank, says the aid package will make a huge difference in the lives of hundreds of millions of people. For example, he says it could deliver essential health and nutrition services for up to 400 million people.
We will or expect to train up to 10 million teachers to benefit 300 plus million children. We intend to immunize between 130 and 180 million children and would undertake investments that could improve the access to improved water resources for up to 45 million people.
While IDA is largely focused on supporting long-term development projects, it does have provisions for helping people in crisis situations. Von Trotzenberg tells VOA that IDA has just announced a $1.6 billion support package for emergencies, with critical support going for famine relief in Yemen, South Sudan, Somalia, and northern Nigeria, where an estimated 20 million people are at risk of famine.
The financial support will be a combination of recently approved operations that we have been in the last 6-8 months that we're already starting to target, for example, the north of Nigeria, to the remaining resources that are still available under our crisis response window.
Von Trotzenberg says IDA still has about $360 million left over from development projects executed over the past 3 years. He says that money will be used for famine relief. Lisa Schlein for VOA News, Geneva.
You're listening to African News Tonight live on the following frequencies, 15, 580 and 6080 kilohertz on the Voice of America. I'm Kim Lewis in Washington.
I'm Yehiz Huhib, 16 past the hour. Here's a recap of our top stories. At least 10 people are reportedly killed in drought-related clashes in central Kenya. And after more than 40 Somali refugees were killed last Friday, the Arab coalition fighting rebels in Yemen has called for the port of Hodeidah to be placed under UN supervision. And for more news and information, visit our website at voaafrica.com.
Pope Francis met today with Rwandan President Paul Kagame and acknowledged that Catholic priests and nuns succumbed to hatred and violence during the 1994 genocide. A Vatican statement quotes Francis as saying the failings during the genocide disfigured the face of the Church. The Associated Press says the Vatican's statement followed an official apology last year by Rwanda's Catholic bishops for all the wrongs the Church committed. In the years prior to Pope Francis, the Catholic Church had said priests and nuns had acted individually.
Humanitarian relief officials in Africa are concerned about proposed cuts in U.S. aid, which they say will impact important programs and could offset major strides made in global health. The United Nations Food Agency says these proposed cuts come amid the worst hunger crisis the continent has seen in decades. VOA's Anita Powell reports from Johannesburg.
As the Trump administration proposes a deep cut in international assistance, Africa is experiencing a massive hunger crisis, with 20 million people facing severe malnourishment and possible starvation in South Sudan, Nigeria, Somalia, and nearby Yemen. The United States is the largest single donor to the UN World Food Program, contributing just over $2 billion last year. In dire times like this, says WFP East Africa spokeswoman Chalice McDonough, the aid agency needs more help than ever. In one remote South Sudanese village of 20,000 people, she says, WFP's meager food drops, consisting of a bit of sorghum, a handful of split peas, and a few spoonfuls of vegetable oil, serve as a lifeline.
And without those airdrops, if we weren't able to keep those planes flying and to keep the, you know, the food moving, to keep the helicopters flying, then people would literally have nothing. The only thing that is standing between them and catastrophe is the food assistance that we can bring to them.
That word, catastrophe, has come up often in global reactions to the proposed U.S. budget, which seeks a nearly 30% cut in foreign aid programs, like the U.S. Agency for International Development. Ben Parker, a London-based editor and analyst with IRIN, a news agency specializing in humanitarian issues, says the international aid community is readying itself for a shock.
It's going to hurt, and it's going to have, well, consequences we're not even sure about at this point. When you look at the scale of the cuts potentially to particularly the UN, which the administration has a particular lack of appetite for.
The White House's budget director, Mick Mulvaney, has said the budget will absolutely reduce funding to the UN, to which the U.S. is the largest single donor. Parker, however, says the U.S. must honor certain financial obligations to the UN if it wants to retain its powerful vote on the Security Council.
And these in the UN cover things like the core budget and also the peacekeeping operations. So we feel, looking at the data, that sadly the areas that are easier to cut are in fact the areas that perhaps do more immediate good in the sense that they're involved in emergency relief.
The proposed U.S. budget includes a substantial increase in defense spending. McDonough acknowledges the world has become more dangerous, but argues that food insecurity in itself undermines stability, and that countries should try to make a difference if they can. Anita Powell, VOA News, Johannesburg.
The Zimbabwean government today made an international appeal for $200 million to help its citizens who have been affected by widespread floods. Officials said since December, 271 people had died due to floods. As Sebastian Mofu reports from Harare, the United Nations said it was important to quickly come into the country with medical aid and control infectious diseases that are spreading.
Vice President Phekezela Mpoko made a passionate plea to diplomats and United Nations agencies in the southern African country to help people who have been affected by the floods.
The amount of destruction that has been caused by the good rains, it is good on this other side, and other results are terrible. All we are saying is that please, can you give a hand to our people? The destruction is so massive. Schools have been destroyed. Bridges, roads have been destroyed. Lives of people, quite a number of people have died over 271. And a number of things, diseases are coming up because of a lot of water and so forth. Now we are appealing for your assistance.
Finance Minister Patrick Chinamasa said his country was affected by floods that struck all of Southern Africa. Bishop Parajuli, the United Nations resident coordinator in Zimbabwe, says he has been to some of the flood-affected areas and he was one of the diplomats Harare made a plea for assistance on Monday.
Sadly, this flooding comes at the middle of a major drought. Zimbabwe faced the worst in 35 years. So it's the same people who were suffering with the drought now facing the flood. So this is very sad. While we're hoping to have the same communities who are hoping to have a good harvest, but they have faced this tremendous loss and suffering. What is really needed is rebuilding some of the lost individual housing and also supporting communities to regain their livelihood. We take note of the appeal. What is really critical at this stage is also to prevent from some of the infectious diseases, diarrhea and etc., which has started resulting in typhoid and in some areas cholera.
Zimbabwe last week said two people had died of cholera in one of the areas hit by floods on the eastern border with Mozambique. Zimbabwe declared a state of emergency in early March and launched an appeal for $100 million. Now Zimbabwe says it needs $200 million to fully recover from the floods. Sebastian Mofu for VOA News, Harare.
In Egypt, the 6th Luxor African Film Festival is underway. For 2 weeks, filmmakers from all over the continent will show their films and participate in different workshops. Nouria Tesson has the story from Luxor, Egypt.
Scene 5, medium shot, take 3.
Stand by, action!
The Ugandan filmmaker Rogers Mugabirwe is one of more than 20 young African filmmakers attending a workshop at the festival this year. Others come from South Africa, Burundi, Kenya, Libya and Egypt. Rogers is trying to keep to the schedule for the shooting of a short film that he's directing in Luxor. And he's trying to make his actor, Halit, understand the script and improve his performance. But he says it is not an easy task.
I had a guy from Libya and he only speaks Arabic. He never understands English. So taking in the instructions was kind of hard because he doesn't know what I'm trying to tell him. I also don't know what he's trying to tell me. So you have a lot of time every time you're looking for a translator.
On the other hand, Royes Mugabirwe says collaborating with other African filmmakers has been a rewarding experience.
It's amazing. Everyone was bringing in their knowledge, their cultures, and it was like a basket full of different fruits. And when you have that basket, you feel like you've got the nutrition you want. And that's the same feeling I had when I was doing the movie.
The film festival runs until the 22nd of March, but young filmmakers from all over the continent arrived a week earlier to put themselves on track. They are learning from the best filmmakers in the region, like Haile Gerima of Ethiopia. Afterward, they will have to film a short movie, which will provide the opportunity to learn and collaborate with fellow African filmmakers. Peacemaker Masemene of South Africa helps Royce with the sound.
The Afrikaans film industry is growing because they have found a way to stick together and help each other. But the black community, everyone wants to isolate themselves and make their own stories and never help others. That is the biggest challenge we face, but it's something we're working on. It's something Mr. Haile is teaching us, and that's the biggest thing I've learned here.
This year, the festival aims to celebrate Luxor as the capital of Arab culture and aims to boost African-Egyptian relations. The participants agree that bringing people together will help to strengthen African cinema and help it reach Western audiences.
Africa in general is a continent that is having a lot of problems that have not been told out to the world and are still continuing to deprive the Africans. So we need a voice from the Africans themselves, because if we don't tell our stories, no one else will come and tell them. So we need a voice, African voices, to tell African problems.
Almost 50 films will be in competition in the long and short narrative and documentary categories. Indian actor and singer Amitabh Bachchan was to be honored at the closing ceremony, but a family illness has forced him to cancel his appearance. For Voice of America, this is Nuria Tasson from Luxor.
And that wraps up this edition of Africa News Tonight. I'm Yehia Suhib in Washington.
And I'm Kim Lewis. And for all the latest developments on the continent 24/7, visit our website at voaafrica.com.
For listeners on VOA's Nairobi FM station, please stay tuned for the Swahili Evening News coming up at 16:30 UTC.
For all other listeners, please stay tuned to the Sunny Side of Sports. Tune in again at 1800 UTC for another edition of Africa News Tonight. On behalf of our producer, Bill Workinger, and our engineer, Dan Crafton, thanks for choosing the Voice of America.
Tuesday on Health Chat. Join host Lenore Modu reassessing your health stress in 2017 with Ken Red Cross, internal medicine and concierge doctor. For your questions, email us at healthchat@voanews.com. You can also reach us by phone to leave a message or to participate in the program. We will call you back. Dial the international code for the United States, then dial 202-205-9942. The country code is 1. Dial 45 after you hear the station ID. For listeners to call during the show, our telephone number is 202-619-3111. Health Chat this Tuesday at 1730 UTC, right here on VOA Africa.
Hello, I'm your host Shaka Sali. Every Wednesday night, the Voice of America's Straight Talk Africa puts you in touch with newsmakers and experts as they talk about the most important social and political issues that affect you.
On the next Straight Talk Africa, we'll discuss Africa land reform. The World Bank says that Africa needs to change its systems for buying and selling land. That's right here on the next Straight Talk Africa. At 1830 UTC.
Hello, Africa. I'm James Butte, host of VOA's Daybreak Africa. When news breaks, VOA Africa is there, bringing you the news as it happens. Listen to Daybreak Africa Monday through Friday at 3, 4, 5, and 6 hours UTC. And our 5-minute newscast come to you at the top of each hour. VOA Africa, your trusted source of information.